It's coming up on 8:11. Good morning. This is the KPCW Local News Hour. I'm Lynn Ware Peak, sitting in for Leslie Thatcher. She'll be returning on Thursday. Well, Vail Resort's Epic Promise Program donated 18 chairs from the old Motherlode chairlift. You remember that chair at Park City Mountain Resort. Now, they've been turned over to artists in the community to be transformed into pieces of art, and they'll be auctioned off this week, but you can see them and vote on them before that, beginning today, in fact. So joining me in the studio, I have one of the artists who did the chair for both KPCW and the Egyptian Theater. It's Bill Cranny Cranstover.
Thanks,
good morning.
Lynn, yeah, thanks. Good morning to you.
Yeah.
And my wonderful daughter, Malia, of course, participated.
That's right. Malia Denali.
We collaborated.
That's right. The father-daughter art team. I like
that.
Also joining me in the studio, Robin Marouche, the executive director of the Kimball Art Center, as well as Bill Rock, chief operating officer of Park City. So good morning to everyone here.
Good morning.
This is an exciting event coming up. And Robin, why don't we start with you? Because you no doubt have seen these chairs as they've trickled into the Kimball Art Center, where they will be on display beginning today.
That's right. And we've actually added that the community can start bidding on them tomorrow at noon, because we've had so many phone calls about people who want to bid that aren't coming to the event or out of town. So each nonprofit will also assign a proxy so people can bid and vote for their favorite, because Vail is being so generous and giving an extra $1,500 to the most popular community chair. And they are so creative, the ones we've seen so far. And Cranny doesn't do anything in a small way.
Thanks. Well, it was a treat doing the chairs, and we were fortunate to get two of them. And it's a great thing that Vail is sponsoring this. It's a wonderful way for you guys to support these nonprofits, and thank you.
Yeah, thanks. It's fun. When we announced the upgrade to the Motherlode chair, we thought, well, what are we going to do with these chairs? And we got a lot of calls from people who wanted one. But partnering with our 18 nonprofits, we thought was the best way to reuse the chairs and also just create an opportunity to raise some money for local nonprofits.
That's right. And everyone needs a chairlift hanging in their living room, or maybe outside to complement their landscaping. And we do have the picture of the KPCW, the photo of you, the chair that you and Malia did, on our website, kpcw.org.
Oh,
it's incredible.
Good.
Metal.
Yes.
It's wild.
I
love
metal.
It.
Lots of metal. For sure.
Love metal. And so I would imagine at this point, do you, Robin, have the rest of the chairs posted, or you just have to come to the Art Center? And
yeah, in fact, tomorrow at noon would be the best time to show up, because not all the chairs are here yet, but they're being delivered and being put on display. And we really do want to thank Vail Resorts, because this is an extraordinary way for all the nonprofits who have very different missions to stand together. And we stand united where art and sport meet, because we all align around our love of both, and it lifts the entire community. So thank you very much.
Yeah.
It's got the spirit of Live Give. It really does. It's
oh,
exciting.
That's great. Okay, so how is it going to go? So it's open, you say, beginning today at what time?
Well,
do you
noon
open
tomorrow.
Noon tomorrow you'll have all of them there. You can come. You can bid on them, because, Bill, it's going to be a silent auction this time, mostly on Thursday night. It won't be a live auction, so you can bid all beginning tomorrow, if as you like.
That's it's great. People can bid, and the most popular chairs, we're going to donate an additional $1,500, so it'll go towards the most popular chair in the community too. So
yeah, that's exciting. Now, also on Thursday evening, you will be doing your Epic Promise program, and how does the evening go for those who would like to attend?
Yeah, so we invite the nonprofits to the Epic Promise grant reception, and so annually we award, you know, last year it was over $1.3 million to local nonprofits here in town. And so we use that night to celebrate the good work people do, highlight some of the nonprofits that we've sponsored, and really just celebrate everything that's happening in town and formally announce all the grants.
Okay. And then the silent auction for the chairs will close at what time on Thursday?
6:55, I believe.
Okay.
Closer, 6:45. So, again, if people aren't coming, and the nonprofits are taking care of inviting certain members of their board to join in. So not everyone will be there, but because we can only fit so many. But you can always call in a bid or leave one with us at the front desk at the Kimball, or call your nonprofit. And if you don't want to keep one, you can also just give a shout-out with the vote. And because each one has a voting box made by our Young Artists Academy.
Okay. So it's not necessarily a big gala event inviting the public. It's mostly the nonprofits, their boards, their executive directors coming to receive the Epic Promise community donations.
Grant.
There we go. Right. Okay. What a great time. And Cranny, I'm just wondering, how long did it take you? How many hours do you and Malia have into these two chairs?
You know, we planned it out. My favorite part is to discuss it with her because it's so wonderful. It's talking abstract with your daughter. It's a wonderful way to communicate. And that's the most fun for us. And then we go to the junkyard, the metal junkyards in Salt Lake.
That sounds like
fun.
Yeah,
Father of the Year, taking your daughters down there and kicking around. But then the pieces kind of come to us, and depending on what we see down there. And then we'll turn those into hopefully our vision. So it all comes together pretty quickly.
Great. Well, we hope it all comes together for at least tomorrow at noon. And Robin, if you could talk a little bit about some of the, who are the other artists that we might know doing chairs?
We had a couple from the Charity Lift event we did several years ago. Renee Mox Hall and Lisa Hale have participated. Justin Wheatley, who's a local artist from Salt Lake. There's Janet Massimino, who's on the board. Ron Butkovich, a lot of local favorites. Ours is R. Nelson Parrish, who's a partner at Soul Pools. Just an array. There's 18 different ones.
Mary Beth, yeah. This one's wonderful.
And Mark, yeah.
And Mark,
husband and wife team. We're keeping it in the family.
Yeah, there's some wonderful artists. Excuse me. And it's a real fun way to participate with wonderful artists in the community.
Yeah. So if you are, say, a second homeowner sitting in Chicago and you've seen, you know about some of the chairs and you'd like to bid, how do you do that?
You can contact your nonprofit, the one that you want to bid on, and they have a proxy assigned person to take their bid. So they can say, my best and final bid is X, and we'll be able to make sure that they are accounted for.
Okay,
in
the
fund.
Are there minimum bids, and are
yes.
they the same for every chair or different?
Across the board, it's a minimum bid of $1,500.
Okay.
And the sky is the limit, so...
Of course,
keep those
it
memories
is.
In town and keep them visible.
Do the artists? I would imagine they get reimbursed for their materials. Do they get reimbursed for their time, or is that kind of a hard thing to put a price tag on?
I think each nonprofit had a different arrangement with their artists, and a lot of artists donate the time, and some are doing a split. But it's between the nonprofit and the artist. But it's a great way for other people to get involved who just want to chip in. And I'm sure, Cranny, you had different people help who wanted to, you know, be part of it as well.
Oh, definitely, yes. Cole Lee was the welder out in PO. He does wonderful work, and I couldn't do that type of work without him. And a number of people chipped in, and we're very supportive. It's a community effort. It's great.
It really is. So it's dozens of people who helped in each chair, I think.
Sure, yeah.
A lot of participation. It'll be really exciting. And if you have a nonprofit that you really care about and you know some people that maybe don't live in town that would be interested in bidding, let them know. That's kind of the way that this whole, the trickle down and the support for the nonprofits takes place.
That's right.
So, you may not have room for a chair in your yard or in your condo, but maybe someone else does that you know. So that's really exciting. Okay, so people won't be turned away if they can only show up today to see, but all of the chairs, the 18 chairs, will be there by tomorrow at noon, and then you can start bidding in as a silent auction.
That's
and
right.
Until 6:55 or thereabouts on Thursday evening. Okay, great.
And then also the Kimball Arts Center will put a photo of all of them on our website so that there'll be one gallery to see them all.
Okay, and when will that be up?
As soon as we get them all, we can have a photo of all of them.
And then people can call in, right? I mean,
that's
they
right.
don't have to necessarily be there physically. They
that's
can
right.
call in. Okay, cool.
Okay, exciting. Wonderful. Well, and since I have Bill Rock in the studio, just have to ask him about a few other things.
Sure.
One of them was announced last week, and it is the Epic Promise Foundation. This will benefit employees of Vail Resorts, and it's big time.
Yeah, this is the next step really for us in Epic Promise. You know, Epic Promise won't change in terms of community grants and supporting nonprofits, but we certainly felt a need to continue our commitment to our employees and to grow our kind of charitable work and give them an opportunity to join us. So we launched the Epic Promise Foundation, which will be a separate nonprofit, separate board. The company will support it with matching grants, $500,000 to start with. Our CEO, Rob Katz, actually pledged $1.5 million over 3 years. To go into the foundation, and it'll go really to support our employees in two ways. One, their children and their educational needs, either their own educational needs or their kids, and also just if they have hardship, you know, if there's a fire, if there's an illness, if there's some special need that they have, it'll be employee directed and it'll go to help support employees in need and their education. So the reception from our team has been phenomenal. Everyone really is excited about it and makes a lot of sense, and we look forward to growing the foundation.
So you say employee directed. Does that mean employees will make up the board of the foundation, and so they'll be seeing and reviewing these applications that come in?
Yeah, that's right. It's an employee board, pretty much a non-executive board, and they'll be making the grant allocations every year. And the goal is, in the first year, is to donate about $750,000 in grants in the first year across our whole enterprise for our employees. So employees can donate, but of course, like I said, the company's going to match as well, and you know, raise significant amount of money to help each other, which is what our team's all about.
Okay, so a $1.5 million contribution by CEO Rob Katz over 3 years. Personally?
Personally.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Rob's a great leader, and you know, he's leading by example here, and he's definitely committed to our employees and the employee culture that we build, and you know, he's leading by example here, which is pretty impressive.
That's very interesting. Okay. Good to hear. And then also a lot of excitement. We spoke last week, you and I, about the $30 million that Vail Resorts has designated across the 10 resorts for affordable housing. And a lot of excitement about this in the community.
Yeah, I got a lot of phone calls. And of course, I had talked to a bunch of people in advance of the announcement. But we've announced we'll spend $30 million in our mountain communities towards employee housing. We realize, you know, not only here, but every community we operate, it's a need. And the need differs between the communities, but it's a need nonetheless. And so, again, we're trying to take a leadership position and also partner with government or other interested people who have resources and ideas and, you know, want to move some projects forward. So we're looking forward to kind of getting a few things moving and trying to fast track some things here in town.
Okay, great. And again, want to reiterate that the about 80 units or housing for 80 employees on the Park City side, and then over at the Canyons Village side, I think about 270 are sort of pre-existing obligations that have been designated by land management code and the master plan development. That is aside from this new $30 million across the 10 resorts.
Yeah, that's right. And so anything that's pre-existing obligation, this is above and beyond that. This is incremental. Some of the obligations you just mentioned aren't actually ours. They're other entities. But for those that are our obligations, we'll do those and we'll do more projects with this $30 million.
Good stuff. All right. Bill Rock, Chief Operating Officer of Park City, Robin Marouche, Executive Director of the Kemble Arts Center, and our artist, Cranny.
Thanks, Lynn.
Bill Kransover. Thanks for coming
Thank
in.
You.
Anyone have anything else?
Thanks.
Just a special shout out again to Vail Resorts, because you've only been in the community for a few years and you've made such a difference and you feel like family, and it's extraordinary, your philanthropy. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, it's great. It's fun to be part of this event. It's really fun.
Yeah, good work.
Thanks.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks. And it's now 8:24. We'll be back in a few minutes with Tom Kelly of the U.S. Ski and Snowboard Association. Some really big announcements there in terms of what our athletes did over the weekend when we return.
Hi, I'm Amy Roberts with Park City Medical Center, a not-for-profit community hospital and a proud supporter of KPCW. At Park City Medical Center, our OBGYNs use the latest surgical advances, like minimally invasive hysterectomies, endometrial ablation, and laparoscopic procedures. Even better, they also offer the convenience of having your procedure close to home. Doctors Jeannie Falk, Lorraine Sabella, and Jeremy Clark are the only OBGYNs who practice surgery and deliver right here in Park City. Make an appointment today by calling 435-658-7400.
Hi, this is Jake Doylney with New Park Terrace and Crandall Capital, newest supporter of KPCW. New Park Terrace is a 60-townhome, whole-ownership condominium project with Swanner Nature Preserve and local ski resort views, located in the heart of New Park Town Center. More information can be found at newparkterrace.com or 640-5212.
Additional support for programming on KPCW is provided by Sammy's Bistro, now offering breakfast Thursdays to Sundays from 7 to 11 a.m. Peterson Calder Real Estate, Berkshire Hathaway, selling Park City since 1989. ExperienceParkCity.com. Sean Potter, Estate Planning in Summit and Wasatch Counties, WasatchLawGroup.com, 647-5951. Done to Your Taste Catering, 21 years perfecting life celebrations. the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and listeners like you.
It's now 8:25. Good morning. This is the KPCW Local News Hour. I'm Lynn Ware Peak. Well, is there a crackdown on off-leash dogs? Some residents spoke to the Summit County Council about the matter last week. They complained about what they say are overly aggressive tactics by police. And now the head of the nonprofit group in charge of many of our trails shares his take on the matter. KPCW's Renee Bodley has the story.
Charlie Sturgis is the executive director of the Mountain Trails Foundation. The foundation helps build, maintain, and protect trails in the Park City area. He said he's getting emails about excessive fines for off-leash dogs.
Yeah, I was a little discouraged over the last few months to see how many people are actually getting fined, and it's really disappointing.
Sturgis says people who want to let their dogs run free should be considered along with other trail users.
I think our position is going to be about fair and equitable access to the trails in a manner that we would like to be able to use them. So we're not going to advocate for just the people letting their bad dogs run around. I think what we really want to see is, you know, some areas where people can expect to get on trails and let their dogs off leash.
Right now, you can't have a dog off leash in Park City or Summit County unless they are on your own property or in a specifically designated off-leash park. Fines range from $100 to $500. Sturgis says inconsistent policing is an issue.
This is a process that we've done before, you know, so this is what I would refer to as yo-yo enforcement. We've done it, then we go away from it because everyone gets disgruntled. I think there's better solutions out there than where we currently sit.
Some residents came to the county council meeting to ask the council to convene a commission or board to study the matter. But council went through that exercise a couple years ago, and Councilman Roger Armstrong says they adopted the group's recommendations at that time, which included the new Run Amok Dog Park. Sturgis says not enough dog lovers participated in that process.
Dog owners didn't really come to the table at all, and I think that's been really discouraging for Summit County Council is, you know, when we really needed dog owners to show up a few years ago when there was a subcommittee on dog, dog issues in general. Really, there wasn't really much of a show up on the part of dog owners, just really more or less people maybe who had been injured.
Sturgis says there's a way everyone can share the trails.
I think there are better solutions out there. Mill Creek still has an off-leash day and an on-leash day, and, Beaver Creek does that. So it's not outside the possibilities of our local governments to actually allow for some of this. So hopefully we'll see some pressure, I guess, from dog owners who really need to act responsibly. It's really important. They need to prove their worth and do the right thing out there.
That's Charlie Sturgis, Executive Director of the Mountain Trails Foundation. I'm Renee Bodley, KPCW News.
Hi, this is Stanton Jones from Silver Mountain Sports Club and Spa, a longtime supporter of KPCW. We have swim programs for the whole family. Our beach pool with water slide and lazy river, as well as our two lap pools, are open and heated year-round. Online at silvermountainsportsclub.com. Be stronger, live healthy, play longer.
Heart disease is the number one killer of both men and women. If you have high blood pressure, high cholesterol, diabetes, or are overweight, you are at higher risk. This is Dr. James Fang, Chief Cardiologist at the University of Utah Healthcare. Early diagnosis and treatment of heart disease can help you live a longer and healthier life. To schedule an appointment with us at the University of Utah's Redstone Clinic, visit us at redstone.uofuhealth.org. University of Utah Healthcare is a non-for-profit organization and a KPCW supporter.
It's now 8:29. Good morning. This is the KPCW Local News Hour. I'm Lynn Ware Peak, sitting in for Leslie Thatcher. Joining me on the line with his weekly update, I have U.S. Ski and Snowboard Association spokesperson Tom Kelly. Good morning to you, Tom.
Well, good morning, Lynn, and what a great weekend it was for the U.S. ski team.
Oh, no kidding. So I can't wait to hear, and I didn't get to see Lindsey Vonn and her sweeping three events for the third time in 5 years, giving an overall total of 70 World Cup wins.
Yeah, it was quite an amazing weekend for Lindsey Vonn going up to Lake Louise, a course that she has owned for many, many years. She came in with 15 wins. She left with 18. And as you said, she's now up to 70 World Cup wins. And kind of the joke around Beaver Creek this weekend is that somewhere back in Sweden, Ingemar Stenmark, who holds the record with 86, is kind of watching intently as that gap narrows ever so closely. But it was a great weekend of racing up there. Lindsey Vonn winning all three events, including winning the Super G by a margin of 1.32 seconds. That's the largest margin for women's Super G since 1997. Stacey Cook having a pretty good weekend. She had a fifth in the downhill. Michaela Schifrin making her Super G speed debut up there in the World Cup, finishing 15th. Looked very, very good. Had a ton of fun. But overall, an amazing weekend for Lindsey Vonn.
Wow. And so she came off a little injury with her ankle. Is that right?
Yeah, she fractured her ankle this summer, and it actually hampered her training a fair amount. Took her off snow from a camp in New Zealand, and really came back, though, very, very cautiously. Went on snow at Solden, not for the races in October, but for some training. Felt really good there. Got some more training at Copper at the U.S. Ski Team Speed Center and also at Vail, her home, and was ready to go in Aspen. Unfortunately, she went out in that giant slalom race there, did not get a finish, didn't compete in the slalom, headed up to Lake Louise, and now she's got a comfort level. She has three races under her belt, three wins, perfect record, and she moves into the overall lead over Michaela Schifrin.
Wow. Now, I had read, and I don't remember which race it was, but Lindsay goes on to win it, but she does something like the splits and almost loses it in the middle of the race.
Yeah, it was a pretty scary moment in the opening downhill on Friday, and we were watching that live on NBC Sports Live Extra, and she's about two-thirds of the way down the course at high speed, one of the high-speed portions of the course, and she literally does the splits, kind of a power wedge, a pizza or a snowplow, if you will, and took her, actually didn't lose that much time. She lost about 0.4 seconds on that, and she more than made it up in the last section of the course, just hitting that bottom section with a vengeance. So right now, she's pretty much untouchable in the speed events.
Oh, that's incredible. Okay, so the women now are headed to Sweden.
Yeah, off to Åre, Sweden for a giant slalom and slalom, and that'll be a good event for Michaela Schifrin. They're kind of dicing it up right now in the overall, and I don't know if that's going to continue to be the case with Michaela skiing only limited speed events. But it does set up an interesting situation this weekend. Michaela Schifrin will go into Åre, Sweden as the favorite in the giant slalom and the slalom. Lindsay will be going there, most likely just skiing in the GS. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. But those women are getting ready to head over there today and get the World Cup back in action up in Scandinavia.
Okay, so also over the weekend, the men's Audi Birds of Prey Race Week, Beaver Creek, a winning streak comes to an end.
Well, we had good news and bad news at the Audi Birds of Prey Race Week at Beaver Creek, a course that has produced amazing results for the U.S. over time. The bad news is Ted Ligety finally saw that win streak break. He had won five straight giant slaloms, four World Cups, and one World Championship title last year. Was on his way to a stellar performance when he just booted out near the bottom of the course. And for folks who didn't see it, he just gets so much angulation that occasionally there's just no place to go with the equipment, with the boots, and he just literally booted out where his own boot kind of takes the other ski off the snow, and he just slid out. Tough crash because he actually impacted a gate really significantly on his leg. He's got a little bit of a bruise there and certainly a lot of pain. As he said, it feels like Mike Tyson punched me in the thigh, but he's going to be okay, and he'll be heading off this weekend to compete in the giant slalom and the slalom in Val d'Isère, France.
Okay, but he was on the podium in Super G, which is kind of not unusual, but that was the upside.
Well, it really was. And you know what's interesting? Of all the success we've had at Beaver Creek over the years, where we've had the least success is actually in the Super G, have really never had this kind of a result going back in history there. But Ted Ligety finishing second behind, interestingly enough, Marcel Hirscher, his rival for the overall title and the GS title. Andrew Weibrich finishing third, career first podium in the World Cup. And what's interesting, folks know Andrew because he's the Olympic Super G bronze medalist from Vancouver and the silver medalist from Sochi, but he'd never been on the podium in a World Cup. He was fifth in the downhill the day before, so we knew that he was kind of on fire. But he came from the back again, and a great performance. So Ted Ligety second, Andrew Weibrich third, Travis Benoit sixth, Tommy Biesmeyer 11th. The first time we've ever had three U.S. men in the top six in a World Cup Super G, and the first time we've ever had four in the top 11 in a World Cup Super G. So that was a real bright spot of the weekend for us. Andrew Weibrich fifth in the downhill, and then that great Super G day. Those were the highlights for us from Beaver Creek.
Yeah, that's exciting. With Andrew Weibrich, I mean, maybe the rest of us would say that if we were an athlete, we'd rather perform well in the Olympics if we had a choice between World Cup and Olympics. But I don't know if the athletes look at it that way.
Well, you know, it's interesting. At the end of the day, they certainly do. But this has been frustrating for Andrew because he's one of the best skiers out there. And I know that for those folks who watched on NBCSN and Bodie Miller's call of that, he talked about Andrew and what a great racer he is. And it's just frustrating that he hasn't broken through into the top three in a World Cup. I think we'll probably see that more frequently. This has been a course that's been great to Andrew. He had his first World Cup points there. He had his first top 10 there, an attack from the back in that case as well. So hopefully he'll be able to continue that on through the season, but clearly he's established himself along with Travis Benong and Steven Nyman as among the top downhillers this year. They're going to have a two-week break before the next speed event. That'll be in Val Gardena, a site where Steven Nyman has won three times, but this weekend it's off to Val d'Isère, France for a giant slalom and a slalom.
Okay. Well, this next thing is so exciting. Park City's Rosie Brennan makes history along with her teammates.
Yeah, you know, it's been fascinating to watch the women. And if you think back about a decade or so, the U.S. ski team used to participate in the relay event in cross country. Now we're contenders in that event. And it's been fun to watch this over the last few years. This is the third time now in the last 4 years that the U.S. women have been on the podium. I guess at some point we won't continue to call it historic. It'll be the norm. But this is an event that requires all four athletes, each of whom are going 5 kilometers. Every one of them has to do their job. And it isn't the job of each and every one of them to win the relay, but each of them has a specific purpose. And in this case, Rosie Brennan from Park City got the nod for the open spot in the relay. She led off, and her job was just to keep the U.S. in contact. She did that. She came in 7th in that leg. She handed off to Sadie Bjornsen, who's been the top athlete for the USA all season long so far. She boosted it up just a little bit, kept the same place at 7th, but put forward a fifth-place effort on her leg. But the key was then handing off the team in a good position to Liz Steven and Jesse Diggins and the two skating legs. Liz had the third fastest time on her leg and put the team into position. But I tell you, the power was seen by Jesse Diggins. And the folks who watched that on NBC Sports Live Extra, you can see what I'm talking about. Just a powerful leg. She skied the fastest anchor leg of any team. She actually skied 3.5 seconds faster than Norway's Heidi Bang. That team went on to win, and Jesse held off the second Norwegian team for the USA to take 3rd. And what a joyous occasion it was for those women to celebrate in Lillehammer.
That's great. Hard to pull off that kind of 3.5 seconds ahead of a Norwegian. That's really saying something. Wanted to ask you, I know that Rosie Brennan was named, I think, last month to the B team. And so why is it that she got the nod for being on the relay team with all these heavy hitters?
Well, there's a lot of things that go into it, and there were probably 2 or 3 girls who were in contention for that spot. The three others were pretty solid. Sadie Bjornsen's been the number one U.S. skier all year. Liz Steven and Jesse Diggins are certainly veterans. But it was that opening slot that was really a little bit up for grabs. Rosie had not had the best, by her own estimation, had not had her best performance in the individual event the day before. So she's actually a little bit surprised that she got the nod, but she did the job. And again, her job wasn't to go out and win the relay. It was just to keep the U.S. in the hunt in that early leg and then let the veterans take over. So she did her job, and she shares a piece of that history.
Congratulations to Park City's native Rosie Brennan. That's great. Okay, also Nordic combined, they finally, the winds let up from their time in Ruka, Finland, and now they were in Lillehammer. Some good results.
Yeah, it's been really frustrating for the combined guys and also the jumpers. The winds have just been really horrible in Scandinavia early season, but they finally got in a full event on Sunday. Did not go well for the U.S. on the jumps. Taylor Fletcher was top with a 42nd place finish, which really put him into a tough spot. He was only 1:57 back at the start of cross country. We knew that he could move up with that, and he did. He ended up with the fastest cross country leg and moved all the way up to 13th. A day earlier, brother Brian Fletcher finishing 11th in the season opener. In that one, they actually used a provisional jump from the day before. So kind of a tough opening stint for the Nordic Combined World Cup. But they're going to take a one-week break right now, and that means most of the athletes are coming back this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Continental Cup action That'll be at the Utah Olympic Park and Soldier Hall. Look for Taylor Fletcher to be in that. Brian's going to sit it out and let some of the others take the quota spots, but Taylor's going to use that as a tune-up event and also an opportunity to get the U.S. some quota points. He'll certainly be a contender for the wins there this weekend.
Okay, great. So Soldier Hollow is up and running and has been able to make enough snow to get that open for the competition?
Yeah, hopeful on that. Still, a few days before the competition, but that's the plan right now.
Okay. And then finally, freestyle athletes will be with their opening event for dual moguls in Finland.
Yeah, we're finally getting the rest of the sports underway. Freestyle will open this weekend with a dual moguls event in Ruka, Finland. Aerials will start a week later in Beijing, and also coming up this weekend, it'll be the Dew Tour in Breckenridge. So first opportunity for the snowboarders and the free skiers at that top international level. So pretty much season fully underway as we get into this weekend.
Tom Kelly is the spokesperson for the U.S. Ski and Snowboard Association. Thanks for your weekly update, Tom.
Great. Thanks a lot, Lynn.
And it's now 8:41.
Jig and reel into the holidays with Eileen Ivers' Christmas, December 12th at the Eccles Center. The Grammy-winning, 9-time All-Ireland fiddle champ and former Riverdance star puts on an electrifying show with her band of genre-crossing musicians. From Irish songs to gospel-infused hymns, this foot-stomping Celtic Christmas starts at 7:30. Tickets start at $25. Call 655-3114. Brought to you by the not-for-profit Park City Institute, entertaining, educating, and illuminating since 1998 and a KPCW supporter.
This is Mike Strawn, hard goods buyer for Cole Sport, a KPCW local supporter. Winter is here, and we have all the right gear to get you outfitted for the season. Brands like Burton, Salomon, Lang, Rossignol, Blizzard, and many more, we're sure to have something for you. Cole Sport, expect the unexpected.
This is Kelly Miller with Assemble Park City, a proud KPCW underwriter. Assemble offers a co-working space that provides a modern collaborative space for you to do your work on the web at assembleparkcity.com.
It's now 8:42. Good morning. This is the KPCW Local News Hour. I'm Lynn Ware-Peak. Now joining me in the studio from the Christian Center, it's Jenny Maurer. Good morning to you, Jenny.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So you are now in the process of your annual toy collection, and people can donate toys until this Friday. It's Operation Hope. Tell us about it.
Yes. So we have about 1,400 local kids. So they're all from Summit and Wasatch County, wide range of ages, everything from baby up to 16. And like you said, this week is the last week to collect gifts because the following Tuesday, Wednesday, we'll be doing the actual toy store where the parents of the registered kids can come and pick out free gifts for Christmas.
Yeah. So I was there last year volunteering. I couldn't believe it. I hadn't seen it before. A ton of donated gifts. But
yeah.
So how do people do it? Can they sponsor a child or just drop off gifts? How does it go?
Yeah, we have kind of a combination, which is great. So we have a lot of just general toy drives going on, like Seth at the downstairs just did a big one this weekend. But you can also sometimes people just like having a specific kid that they can shop for. Ultimately, whether it's a general toy drive or you're sponsoring a specific kid, we're going to just take all the donations and organize them by gender and age group so that parents can still ultimately pick out the gifts themselves. So if you want to kind of shop, what we like when people shop for a specific kid is it ensures that we get the right kind of quantities of kids represented in the program. Otherwise, we would probably end up with just baby girl stuff because that's usually the most fun to shop for. So by people kind of sponsoring actual kids in the program, that ensures that we'll have the right ratio of gifts to make sure that all the kids in the program will find something. And so to do that, you can either come to the Christian Center. We have little postcards that have the gender and age of a kid, or you can send me an email and I can just send that to you as well.
Okay. Sounds good. And what are the hours for drop off?
Yeah. So the hours, you can drop off in the lobby Monday through Saturday, 10 to 5, because those are the hours of our boutique. So.
Okay. All right. Again, that's until Friday to drop off those gifts. Yeah. And what a great program. Also wanted to ask you about a food pantry. This time of year, mm-hmm. you know, people like to drop off food. Mm-hmm. And talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, we have a lot of food drives going on around town. The high school does our biggest ones. I know that they're gearing up. The National Honor Society does a huge one. Girl Scouts is dropping off another one this week. So if people want to drop off food, you can either kind of look for one that's already going on. Usually Boy Scouts, the Girl Scouts, there's different groups that do them annually. So you can kind of piggyback off of that. Or if you want to do your own, just contact me. We can provide you with some material for that. But we're always looking for unexpired, non-perishable food. So that can be pasta, rice, cooking oil, obviously canned food, hearty soup, with a lot of the seasonal workers. And we're just busier in general this time of year. We can always use food.
Okay, that sounds great. Again, going back to Operation Hope, mm-hmm. How are the children selected? Basically, you just say you just can't quite make it for holiday gifts this year.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. We get asked that a lot. So we work with a lot of our community partners, including the Park City School District and Wasatch County. So we let the school counselors and outreach staff at the schools know about the program because a lot of them are already working with families that are potentially struggling, or they're the ones that kind of know the needs of the families the best. And then we also work with other nonprofits like Big Brothers Big Sisters, the Peace House, and we make sure that they know about the program. So if they have clients, Valley Mental Health, the police department, so we kind of get the word out through those avenues. And then because this program has been going on for about 12 years, the word kind of gets out as well. And so a lot of the families will tell their neighbors or tell their friends. And so when they sign up back in October, a lot of times they are hearing about it from the school or from People's Health Clinic or through one of those avenues. And then in order to sign up, they just have to prove basically residency. So they have to bring in something that shows that they live in Summit or Wasatch County. But that's really it. We try to make it as just like all of our programs, like our food pantry. We try to like break down as many barriers as possible. And so we try to make it really inclusive for people to come and participate.
Okay. So again, gifts are due by this Friday. You can drop them off at the Christian Center between 10 and 4, was it?
10 and 5.
10 and 5.
Yeah, we'd love if they were unwrapped.
Unwrapped. Okay. And you can stop by the Christian Center to see about what gifts they're kind of looking for, or email you, Jenny, at
CCFPC.org.
There you go. I finally learned that.
And one thing, too, is a lot of people, it's not just toys. Like, we're looking for new winter clothes. It can be books, board games. And so it can kind of be a wide range of stuff as well, just to clarify.
Okay, sounds good. And, of course, your roommate roundup is ongoing on Tuesday afternoons from 3 to 4. Mm-hmm. And this is for, well, a lot of seasonal workers come to town, and they come here without knowing where they're going to live.
Yes. And so we partner with Mountainlands Community Housing to host this program. We've been doing it for about 5 weeks now, and we'll go at least until the end of December. We'll kind of play it by ear. Most of the seasonal workers will be here by then. Our J1s hit town like early last week. Roommate Roundup is just, we provide them with information, kind of how to get around town, about the bus systems. We let them know about the services that the Christian Center offers, as well as other nonprofits. And we have just a lot of information. And then we are getting landlords that come. So we're trying to get seasonal workers to kind of think outside the box of, you're not going to find that one bedroom apartment on Main Street for $500. So like, get that out of your head. That's not going to happen. But what you could do is maybe get, you know, four other roommates, rent a house, split the rent, and maybe share rides. So a lot of the J1 internationals don't come with ability to drive or with a car. And so we encourage them, you know, either look on the bus line or maybe find roommates that do have cars. So it's just kind of helping them think through, you know, the opportunities of where they can live, and kind of getting some of like the misconceptions about living in Park City, kind of clarifying some of those notions. But I think for the most part, a lot most people are finding housing. It's definitely going quick. So any shout out to landlords out there, if you do just have a bedroom, a unit, a house, I mean, anything, we will probably have a seasonal worker that would fit.
It seems like I have heard, well, a couple years ago, it seemed like I was hearing that a room for rent was going for, you know, like $350, $400. But I have heard some astronomical sounding rents for these kids who are coming in. $700? Yeah. Really?
It honestly completely depends. I know, I kind of laugh, like, I can't even live up here. But it completely depends. And that's one of the challenge too, is there's not just like one number that we can kind of put out there. If you're on the bus line, you can ask a premium. If it's furnished, you can ask a premium. If you don't have to share a bathroom, you can ask, you know, so it kind of depends on what is being offered. I think, I've heard the $700 for, you know, your own bedroom and bathroom, even if you have a shared kitchen. But if you're on the bus line and the landlord already has a bed there, that's a huge convenience for people. And I think one thing too, just for landlords out there, is all seasonal workers come expecting to pay rent. And so don't be afraid to charge. Like, I actually have some landlords that are on the opposite spectrum that are like, oh, I feel bad charging and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, I think it's completely appropriate to charge an appropriate amount of rent. Mm-hmm. They're coming here to work. A lot of them make a ton of money during the winter season. And so I think, and Mountainlands Community Housing has sample leases, sample roommate agreements. And based on what your unit is, they can kind of help ballpark what an appropriate amount of rent is. So if you haven't done it before and you have a lot of questions as a landlord, I would contact Mountainlands Community Housing. But for any seasonal workers out there, you can still come to Roommate Roundup, and then we'll be doing Tuesday night dinners here starting in January for seasonal workers as well.
And those are always well attended.
Yes, a lot of fun.
That's a lot of good information. And again, for those of you who don't know what a J-1 visa is, it's kids mostly from the Southern Hemisphere who are students and they're on their summer break.
Exactly.
And so it's usually within a certain age span, right?
Yeah, most of them are about 19, 20, 21 years old. Like you said, they're on their summer break. They're only here until March. So it's a limited time, but they're all, it's really fun talking to them. It's like, oh, I'm an engineer, I'm a doctor. And yet they're just lifties at Deer Valley, just kind of here to experience America. And so it's actually really fun for them to live in people's homes versus apartments or hotels, because they get to experience, you know, your family meals and they get to experience what, you know, you do in Park City. And so it's a really fun experience for them.
That's right. I hosted Luciano from Argentina, who was a law student last year. Yeah. And it was wonderful. I'll keep in touch with him forever. He was great. And I was planning to brush up on my Spanish, but he was so dead set on not speaking any Spanish. He said, well, I will if you really want to. But in his English was fantastic by the time he left. So it was a great experience.
All right.
Jenny Maurer from the Christian Center. Thanks for your time
today. Thank you so much.
It's now 8:53. We'll be back in just a minute to talk about the Park Silly Winter Bazaar 2015 coming up this weekend.
Support for KPCW is provided by Sundance Institute, a nonprofit organization. Sundance Film Festival is proud to call Utah home, with screenings January 21st through the 31st in Park City, Salt Lake City, and Ogden. The festival's home state is as important to our identity as our filmmakers. Find out what's next as film lovers from across the world come to Utah to celebrate the power of story. For more information, visit sundance.org/festival.
Hi, I'm Davey Ratchard, Marketing Director for Park City and proud supporter of KPCW. The Epic Mix mobile app is designed to help you capture and share your ski and snowboard experience across Park City's 17 peaks, 14 bowls, 300 trails, and 7,300 acres. More information at parkcitymountain.com.
It's now 8:54. Good morning. This is the KPCW Local News Hour. I'm Lynn Ware-Peak. Joining me now in the studio from the Park Silly Sunday Market, I have Michelle McDonald and Kay Boyd. They're here to talk about the Winter Bazaar coming up Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Friday beginning at 5 p.m. And this is all taking place at the Marriott on Sidewinder Drive. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So this has been going on, I don't know, how many years?
This is our fifth.
Fifth.
Yes, for the Holiday Bazaar, our fifth. This will be our 10th season this coming summer for Park Silly, but our fifth Holiday Bazaar.
Okay, great. And if you compare the types of vendors that come to the Holiday Bazaar to those that you have during the Park Silly Sunday Market, how does that look?
There are very similar, but we do have some vendors that come in the wintertime that have merchandise that wouldn't really sell when it's 90 degrees on Main Street in August. Mm-hmm. So we see some people that you've never seen before on Sundays in the summertime. But it's the same types, artists, gourmet food, jewelers.
A lot of just great last-minute gifts, I feel, for the holidays.
Yeah.
This is the second time I've heard last-minute gifts this morning, and I'm here to tell you, it is not last-minute. It's only December 7th.
But I'm to me, you. Who started shopping in July,
What's wrong
this
with
is
you?
Last-minute. I have to ship everything, right? I mean, all of our family, you know, my sister and myself, I mean, all of our family, well, a lot of them live here, but yeah, we have to ship a lot.
Okay,
so.
That makes sense. It is last minute if you're going to
if
ship.
You're going to
okay,
ship, yes.
I should remember that because my boxes are always late when I send them to my mm-hmm. family. Okay, so this is in, where is it in the Marriott? Is it the big ballroom? Or
it's everywhere.
Well, it's everywhere. Oh. So when you walk in the front door, you'll see us. But the majority of the vendors will be in the big ballroom up on the second floor. On that whole walkway that looks over the lobby.
Okay.
And then down near the restaurant and the bar is where Santa Claus will be.
Wow. So how many vendors overall? A lot.
Just shy of 90.
Okay. There's something for everyone then.
Yes, absolutely. For sure.
Santa will be there. And what other, you guys always have something else zany going on.
Well,
what else
us, because we're going to be dressed up like a bunch of silly little elves.
We and found then, holiday tutus.
We did find holiday tutus. And we had somebody make us some holiday tutus, which is exciting. Santa will be a very traditional Santa coming in from the North Pole, so that's exciting. And we will have pictures this year for free again. And then as well, people can come and take pictures with their children and do their holiday pictures if they need to.
Santa didn't get the memo about how you dress typically for
He did
the
first
silly
2 years.
But then people
but
said
it was kind of freaking out some of the kids.
There was a lot of crying babies. Yes,
Santa isn't always easy to meet for the first time to begin with.
So a traditional Santa goes
when
over
he
better.
He showed up in tie-dyed costume. It was
silly.
Yeah.
Should not necessarily be Santa.
Yeah,
we'll just say that
we'll be the silly elves.
Yes.
Okay, it all sounds great. Is there an entry fee, or is
no.
it free to come?
Oh no,
in?
Free
okay.
to the public.
Totally free. It's our biggest fundraiser for the year for Park Silly. Just because we don't do a gala, we don't do a big special event. This is our way to bring, the community into one, big holiday festival. Our vendors pay us, and that's a flat rate, and that's what we use for our fundraiser. But everything else is free when you get there.
Okay.
Other than if you're shopping for your last minute gifts.
The hours of the bazaar
are Friday night. We open at 5:00 and we go till 9:00. Saturday 10 to 5:00, and then Sunday 10 to 2:00.
Okay.
And the bar and the restaurant at the Marriott will be open, so you can shop and maybe have a Bloody Mary, as our usual guests
do. They are doing a special Bloody Mary on the menu for us.
Oh, they are?
Yes,
and
in honor
that?
Of our regular Sunday Bloody Mary from the summertime.
I'm not familiar with your Bloody Mary. What are the different ingredients that make it special?
Well, on a Sunday at Park Silly, there's 35 different ingredients that you can put in your Bloody Mary. We're not going to get that crazy. We're just going to make it pretty festive, so... We've concord something up, and ultimately it's just going to be something delicious with vodka, a little spice, because that's what we enjoy.
And we've requested bacon.
A
bacon garnish.
Is better with bacon.
As we all know. All right, it's the Park Silly Winter Bazaar 2015 coming up on Friday at the Park City Marriott on Sidewinder Drive.
Yeah.
Kate and Michelle, thanks for stopping by this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So
See
much.
You there.
And it's now 8:59.